This morning I'm turning to the book of Prophet Isaiah chapter 55. And I begin to read to you verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and a righteous man his thought. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This morning we are thinking about this subject, God's forgiveness. And now, okay, again, this passage tells us much about that. At least up to verse 7, tells us much about God's forgiveness. And it's so interesting to know this. And these are the words which the Lord gave to Prophet Isaiah to tell us, to tell the people of Israel, and by extension, us also, who hear him today. And okay, they make and say, San Samuel, I hear kind of wants to me, if I hope on the one of the party, and someone I hope on the man, Prophet Isaiah. My wife, one and also at once, no, and somewhere, or my young swine there and obey eating and coupon after me. One thing that we know that when we think of God and who He is, His character, His attributes, as you say, and His nature, that part of Him which is most admirable to sinners is His willingness to forgive. The can say Yanko Pon said your TSC Yanko Pon Bible no at the Diashua Yen said. Sir, the Subebre, any base more Tiano. Nifa, Nipa, ah, the boy, Nibia, any Jimu Pia said, or Pesse, and Brenia Vinia, or the Bonetti. It's one of the most admirable things for every needy sinner. People may think many things about God, but those who are really know their sinfulness. This is the most admirable part for them, because if you take it out, it's His justice, and no one can stand the justice of God. And one thing is that God's mercy is like the ocean. All waters run into it, but it never come to fullness. And it's the same way that all sinners from Adam to the end of time can always come to the Lord to be forgiven. And yet there's no end of His mercy to sinners. As long as this world remains. And time has been given for this world, God is ever open. His mercy is so huge that we cannot comprehend. Think of when Adam, the first human race, Adam and Eve sinned. And all the history of human from them. Always, all that men have really, truly sought from Him, which is our greatest blessing, is His forgiveness, without which nobody can approach Him. God is holy, we are sinners. How can we come to this God if He doesn't forgive us? His justice must burn us up. So you see, God's mercy is like the ocean, as I've said. Adam Moya Bonnie, for him and Bra, we are see the berry, you know. The boy for Nia, but now could ride the horse, but don't want your children. And the idea, Ed, the Emma, the boy, of your boy, when you say the boy in the beer. And the idea, Napupon, Adam, they were not to me, sir, or the bonnet. And also, it is this purpose of His nature, great to show His mercy, that and to be forgive, to forgive us of our sins, that He sends His only begotten Son into this world. He sent Him to offer the only sacrifice that can really pay for sin, that can really satisfy the demand of His justice. God's justice first. God has never relented His justice, His will to punish sin. God has never. People sometimes think that we are in a time of grace. It's like when you read in the Old Testament where we say that people say God opened the earth, they sunk in, and when fire came from the sky to bind people up, they say, oh, God has God. We are in a time of grace, so God, will not do that. It's a lie. God has rather shown us that though He keeps His judgment, He will really punish. He has never relented in His zeal to punish sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25 to 26, we are told that God has exhibited the Lord Jesus Christ. He has set Him forth to be a propitiation for our sin. So God, knowing His justice, He has set up Jesus Christ for all who are afraid of His justice as the way of mercy for needy sinners. So that He has shown us that it is only in Him that there is only satisfaction for our punishment. That God, and the verse 26 of that verse tells us that, so that God will be justice, God will be justice. He will show His justice and yet at the same time justify the sinner, so that He will be just when He does that. So that nobody can charge God that, well, you are against Him and yet you let sinners come to you without taking vengeance of their sins. He took that vengeance, He has taken it on His Son for us, so that when He forgives a sinner and embraces him as His friend, God has not, thrown away His justice. He has not bypassed His justice. He has dealt with the sin of the sinner, but in the case of His mercy for us, He has given all the punishment to Christ. Jesus Christ took all the punishment on Himself when He died on the cross of Calvary. There can he say, "Nobody wanted to know." Say in memory, we may have people who say, "I hope on Adam into no the bond and this man the knee. I hope on this obey people need be also no we judge him." I'm saying this, sir. Name moment. I'm going to share with us the Romans chapter 3, verse 25 to 26. Say. Or then the Bible says, see who are done it, say, or no, you know, the bonnet, asuchine, at all. Or the body, I want to watch you out to me. Since you will be able to find in change, you are your own, a pair of parents or do bonnet better. If you say, I can't assume, am I a bonnet? And see, obey to me and cast a coupon or the bonnet for the bonnet to one, and pure mass one, why a bonnet. So that is it. God has shown us in His word that He is to forgive sinners. So, again, our text tells us, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Again, this text tells us how sinners can approach God. You see, God, sometimes people think, well, they can just imagine how God might be worshipped, or how God must be approached. But God has shown us how we can come to Him in His word. So that whoever bypasses that, he is narrow in darkness. He falls into difficult situations. They make an decision, coupon, not crying here, watch on us, makes me a babble in chain, makes me a bassoon. So, what the two in China, oh, yeah, bonnet. What the two in China, so we can bring our officer, the buyer coupon chain, or begging me out to more. Who call at Sibia, at Obercobon, which we said, obey us for dating and for. So, everything about God, His word tells us. How does He want sinners to say they should forsake their ways? And how can he receive us and what? We should return to Him. And when we come to Him, He will have mercy upon us and He will have so much forgiveness for us. That's what He tells us. So, this is how He asks us to come, so that when we ask for His pardon, He's about willing, he's ever waiting to forgive the penitent sinner. The attendant said, "See, be standing upon the fire, I was saying, or meaning I will be in the same sort, the point near our second again, the bonny bed, a better so that we cannot come to Him when we don't want to repent from our sins. Yes, we may run over by the altum, a person, your bonny, a better, your bonny. If we love our sin, we cannot come to God, we cannot hold on to our sin and come to God. God said, no." So in thinking of this, I will speak about three unique aspects of God's pardon. And the first thing we think of is that we think of God's offer of forgiveness. Or that one is the mark of the bonnet. So in this part, those that the Lord offer the pardon to that we are going to think about. God forgives me, but not everybody. Because as I told you, He has given the conditions. So that if we don't follow, we cannot have His forgiveness. Though it's so light to accommodate all the sins of the whole world, yet if we are disobedient, as the Bible says, we will not eat the good of the land. The Israelites that He saved in Egypt, the parents of those who went to the promised land, He killed all of them in the desert because He told them, because they have disobeyed him, they will not see the promised land. And truly, 40 years, he has to kill all that generation, and their children have to go to the promised land. So, like us also, if we are not willing, we will not taste of his forgiveness, and we will not taste of blessedness in the years to come. So verse 1, it says that, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." What is he talking about here? Here is the pronouncement of his free mercy, using figures of what? Wine, milk, and others, showing the richness of his forgiveness, showing that how it's like how we drink milk and other these things to really enjoy and satisfy ourselves. He said, "You should come for this satisfaction. Why do you labor for that which is no money? Why do you set things in place of this free forgiveness?" People build up goodness in their life. People think that they can do so good, and then God will accept them. He has just ignoring the free forgiveness of God. People think that, well, coming to church or being a religious person, well, God will accept me. You want to go for the hard way, which will earn you nothing. But then Christ said, "Come to me." God said, "Come to me," and then you have this free forgiveness without money, without any expenditure from your side. You don't need to come to me having something that you have done. You have to come to me that you take it freely. That's what he's saying. Was it Brahmin saying, "Branabai to me, born the fache, Branab, or the insio, or the milk, and then and the siho, to say, San Yoma, and no man, nipping a insio name of Yanoma, a boy, nipping here. And to what you are actually in Mogro, who are also that edgy, actually, Pastor Yambra. But then the first thing, the one thing we notice is that the word test here indicates what? An intense desire for something. So look at those that he tells, everyone that tested, everyone that has intense desire, everyone that has that longing for mercy. You see? Obia when you pair with the muso here that will grow. Meaning that there are many people who are sinners, but they don't long for mercy from God. They are not serious about God's forgiveness. So he says, "Oh, everyone that tested. Obiara sukomwadeno. Obia me mobrohun sukomwadeno." And I'm sure we know each one of us have been in the state where we have been tested before. We know how it is to be tested. And no one who is tested will joke with water. I'm sure we are aware of that. Even sometimes, we are told those who travel in the desert to Europe. So, even dirty water, it's okay. I mean, they can become so thirsty that they just sometimes have to drink some of the sea water. I mean, they can do anything to satisfy their thirst. That is how it is. So when the Bible says tested, it means that those who really long for God's mercy. So this is how we identify sinners with those like physical tests. Those who are worried about their sinfulness, they are only those who really test for God to forgive them. So when people don't think, well, we have to be serious about things of God, we need to be reconciled to Him, we need that He will smile upon us, they don't care much about that. Well, they don't know how much their sins are before God. But can I ask you this morning, do you desire sincerely? Are you desiring God's mercy? Are you testing after God's mercy truly in your heart? Or have you tested? And has God satisfied you with His mercy? Sir, Bible can say, "Omwa sukoma di omo yangu bongo bongo." When I'm saying, "Onsu wenya sape wa kumi," and now say, "Wenya sape yangu po amamame omwa na." Have you been satisfied with God's mercy? Because God's word tells that when those who have been satisfied with mercy, they will know it. In the same way, as I said, that those who test for water, when they get water, they know they've gotten water and they are full. Almost come at your mother, Lomunya and Sua. Almost Lomunya and Sua, no mommy. The same way about forgiveness of sins. And you know, this forgiveness is not just for some sins, but all your sins. Some people go to God with maybe the bigger sin. That's what maybe they know those things will bring them shame. They bring them to God. But no, it's all our sins. And one of the greatest people sometimes ignore their irreverence to God. Basically, young fire woman and hope. Because see a pastor is no. Look at how we live with our parents. How do you respect them? We listen to them. How do we irreverence God? How do we give God, show this irreverence to God? You know, the Bible, in the Ten Commandments, the first part that's about us and God is God to us. It's what we should love God with our heart, with our whole heart and mind and soul, and all our energy. So everyone who really is thinking about sin, when you read this, realize, no, this cancels all my claim of goodness. Who can claim that he has, ever since he was born, he has loved God with all his mind and heart and soul and strength? No, even Christian can claim that. This points to us that we are all in need of this mercy. Let us not think of, I've not done somebody wrong. I've not gone and said anything to somebody. I've not said it. No, that's another part. But let's think of this. Have I given my heart and my mind, my soul, my everything to God in this life? We are all guilty of this. We are all guilty of this. Haven't you loved many things than even things of God? Even so-called unnecessary things than the things of God? Haven't we used our time for them instead of maybe even ourselves to the Lord? And then we think of the other side. The pride, your pride, the selfishness, the lust, self-respect, the lies, the envy, and the hatred in our hearts against others, and our own self, as the way the Bible speaks against. Which one of us here can claim that we're innocent of this? Our character. Why the to me, our character has made a and throw a nibrene, a buffo, shua, and whom here. You won't find the bit to me, I cast a sign on my way. None of us. So we see how we are all in need of this mercy, and yet how less people think of it. Because if you don't have a continuous test for God's forgiveness, it's a sign that you don't have a spiritual life. So, sir, I pay or say, If you are not, even if you become a Christian, you still tell God, you are still, you have this heart of sin, and you know how you always fail God. And each and every day, that sense of God having mercy on you, it's your theme. All those who go to heaven, that will be their theme. That we are those that God has shown mercy. And their song will be that Christ has died for them. And that is all. That's the song of the redeemed. That Christ has died for their sin. Without him, they would have been destroyed by God. So what about you? Do you have this continuous test in your heart? When they have done a greater sin, then they go to God. No, those people don't have a spiritual life. A believer knows, somebody who really knows God and have spiritual life, knows that each and every day, because apart from commission of sins that we commit, there are omissions in our life. How best have we prayed? How best have we served God? How best have we been obedient in every aspect of God's word? Every true believer knows this, as he has not been able. Every true believer knows that he has failed God miserably in all of these things. And even the part is able to do, it's only God's grace that holds him. How then do we think of ourselves before God? If we don't have this continuous test, we don't have spiritual life. Because true spiritual life makes true believers to always sense their need of God's acceptance. God, if you say, "Was that that would be a bad thing. If God is not happy with me, I am undone. Like parents and children in the house. How will children feel when their parents are not happy with their conduct? They are sad. They are worried. They are happy when parents are happy with them. The same way with God and us. So that if we are happy while we live in sin, we are keeping our sins. It tells us we don't have spiritual life in us. We are not born again. We are not saved. We have not really known Christ. Yenim Christo. Yes, Christo, until I come and visit. One is here, so that every day, they be also a the Lord Jesus Christ called those who thirst for this forgiveness blessed. Also, I want to a pay woman who himself on person and for the abbey in Shafo. They are blessed in Matthew 5:6. So that blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And who is the one who thirsts after righteousness? Is the one who always senses his need of God's forgiveness. How can we have this righteousness except God has forgiven us in Christ? Except God has given us Christ's righteousness, we don't have any righteousness for him. So we claim, we always desire that God will what? Look upon us through Christ to have mercy on us. And this is what is the desire of everyone who have a spiritual life. That's why Christ said, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This thirst and hunger is in the heart of the one who has spiritual life. So I come in as a common fire and point in the young ones. A idea, a war, Christo ni, papebiana kumim, abrinia, yes, Debbie. Maybe once a month or once a week, then I think of, oh, my young man, yes, I'll go. No, it's every day, every hour when I live my life, I realize that I need this acceptance. I need God to look upon me as having Christ's righteousness and not my own. Because if I should have my own, I am doomed. God will not accept me. There's a hymn right that said that Jesus Christ, my glorious dress and beauty are his blood and righteousness. That is the dress of the redeemed. If it is taken away, they have nothing before God. All that God will use them to do for his service on earth will be nothing if Christ's blood and righteousness do not stand for them. Nobody will be accepted before God. So it's a serious matter. You see, so Jesus Christ called them blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Who hunger and thirst that they'll be right with God. That my life will be accepted with God each and every day, not at the day of judgment. Each and every day, I am happy that God will accept me as his. And really, and just let me know that I am his. There's a joy to know. And those who don't know this joy don't have any spiritual life. It's for every child of God. If you can roam the whole world, every genuine child of God have this in their heart. A test after God's to have mercy on him. So under this, we also think of the complete freeness of God's offer of pardon. We have think of those that God offered his pardon. It's those who test, those who hunger, those who are willing, those who desire God should help them. And also we look at the freeness of it. Not only those who are testing after it, but then the freeness. How God gives. So say, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's free of charge. Yeah, dream is ma. You know that in the history of church history, you know, that have been the era of the Roman Catholic Church to sell forgiveness to people, indulgences and penances, where people have to pay for their sin and all that, so that people, when a relative dies, you have to even pay so that they will take him for purgatory. It's all lies to divert. Satan is so clever. Those are the richest people who have the greater forgiveness. But God's forgiveness is not for sale. So they come and buy it, it's free. That's why they go for confession to the priest, or the priest will forgive. No, Christ, they come to him. It's free. We don't go to Christ, we don't go to God through anyone. We go to God the Father through Christ the Son. And everyone is called to come. Free, as there's no charge. Nobody can set up system for us to be forgiven. But what God has told us in his word is that come free and take this forgiveness. So he invites all needy sinners here to come and take possession of his forgiveness free of cost. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ gave this invitation in the Gospels in Matthew 11:28. I'll read in the second reading. He said that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sir and Freya, yes, Christ now pray on Matthew 11:20. I said, Mumbra Munje, Moa, my ye do my brain, my brain, and my mom, Afumeno. Sir Freya, no, that's okay. It's the same God who gave the invitation to Isaiah, who gave the invitation to Isaiah to speak to the people of Israel. The same God who came on and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. all your labor, all your religious activities that you think God should be pleased, he said that throw them away, they are burdens. And those burdens will take you nowhere. It's like you see a mad person with a load always walking around. He's not going anywhere. He doesn't have any purpose, but he's carrying a load. That's what we do when we don't come to God and yet think that we can bypass his way and rather come to him with our own good works. It's a burden. It will not wash. It will not stand before God. So that is just why give rest to the guilty sinner who runs to him for pardon. His death on the cross have paid the punishment for sin. Yes, Christo, the boy in here and Akume, no Benya, no Mama, no Bono, Benya, Banning, what's the Bonnie Fatiano? What the Bonnie Channel? If you say you won't know what Calvino, it's your Monica. You don't know what Calvino, a paper, Bonini, or Bonnie, I'm coming to Bonnie here. So, when we come to Christ sincerely, God has nothing but to forgive us and to change us. Only if you come to him with all us, not some. If we come with some, God will not forgive some. He wants us to come with all us and surrender our lives to him. Then he will forgive us. Because we cannot pay for our sins. I'm sure we are aware. We are bankrupt in our characters. A bank account that you need to be empty. If we want to draw anything from our character to represent God, we have nothing. See, if we have a money, you will never see a tree before. You don't see a million any BBR. Say a bank account that say a bank account is to be empty. We are going to zero. We are going negative. We are going negative. We have to go to the bank for a charge or so. That's how it is. We are bankrupt in our characters. Dishonesty, selfishness, intolerance, greed is all that we have. You create any effort. I hope any messman, if you go deep in your heart, you'll find it there. It's in degrees. Sin is in degrees. Somebody says, well, I'm not a murderer. But the Bible tells us that even if we are angry with somebody without a genuine cause, we are murderers. Also, there, because of menya, ridiculous. I was just saying, yeah, before more be nothing, and my papa so So you see, even anger can lead us to be murderers, and yet we may think that we have not sinned. So you see, and we may even say things about others. Well, the information we had, we spoke about the matter wrongly. We have sinned against a person, and yet, what can you do? We have sinned, and yet, how many of us think that we have never done anything wrong? So all our good deeds are tainted with our sins. But the Lord still says, come and take forgiveness, for he has already paid the cost. Isn't that interesting? That's the freeness. Never trust any gold that you have. And it's an insult to God's mercy when we think that we are good. Because it's mercy, or God's mercy alone, or nothing. To say, Obia, why one year tia Obi? Maybe a penny, be a woofarin. Why one year tia? And now, Oko Panito. Oko Japan in the new one. Who found for Pom, what was said, or for some on Pomongo and Oko Pato. Who are there new one? You can't say, no, Penino, Ibia, or Kanya, why? Oh, no, sorry. Oh, Latin, and Nano Crana, Wabuano. You are claiming your goodness. What I'm saying is that, let's say you have wronged maybe somebody you respect so much. I mean, and you have taken a desk that respect so that he can, forgive you. And you went to this person. While the person is speaking, telling what you have done in a high tone, then you rise up. Oh, last time I saw your animal astray and I tried to help him, so as if he also is trying to claim some good he has done, so you should forgive him. What do you think the person will say? Then you don't deserve to forgive because you think that you are also have done me good. Then go with what you have done. That's how we do when we come to God with our goodies. God says you are a sinner, you have nothing. Your sins have made you tainted. But you come and tell God, say, oh Lord, I have done good to this person. Oh Lord, I tried to obey the law. Oh Lord, but God will tell you, what about the others? We are bankrupt. And that's why, we believe this, that the depravity in the soul. Which people think that we are not totally, we are depraved when we take off our relationship with God. We may have intelligence for this world and advance in technology and every and what this world pursues, but before God, we are depraved. We cannot lift up our eyes to God. So I move my next major point, that is, we think of the faithfulness of God's mercy. So that not only that He offers it and that He also offers it freely, God is faithful when He forgives. And that is very encouraging to all of us, if we come to Him. Verse 3 of our passage. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It is only by God's mercy that sinners are forgiven of their sin. And even if you look at the world today, it is only God's mercy that is making this world to run. Why? Because God wants people to repent. But sometimes people just want, I don't know if they are mistaken or, well, they mistake God's mercy for His weakness. Having to have people saying that, well, if God is there, why are people sinning and they are not crushed? If God of the Bible that we say that He hates sin, that in the Old Testament people sinning, why are people sinning? Why are wickedness going on? Why are tyrants, oppressing nations, and then people, as if they are so prosperous? Why are they going on? But the interesting thing is that those who are saying this, they are forgetting their own sins. Have they also checked their own hearts? Well, these are tyrants. We see their oppression. Have I also considered my own sinfulness against God and others? See, sometimes in Ghana, we complain about the politicians. But when you deal with people one-on-one, you see how people are also, cheating people and don't care about people. And yet we think of only the politicians that have to do something for the community they are not doing. But we don't think of how we are also mistreating people. You see how sad it is? We don't really, as Christ said, that we should rather think of us, the sins of us more than others. Because when we have seen ourselves as more sinners, it will be difficult to raise our finger on others who have sinned. We'll lead them to God, that God will have mercy on them. That is why, when people rise up against authority, God hates it. If authorities are bad, God Himself, in His own way, take them off. Because it's God who allows government, president, the person stole his way, he rigged election. But God has allowed him. If you do anything against Him, you sin against God. If you have anything, go and tell God. For He ordains authorities, kings, and what they are in His hand. Having to read history, all those so-called tyrants, having they gone and better, rulers have come to their places. It is. Read history. All those they were tyrants, go and look at their places where they were tyrants. They may not, everything can never be remembered of them. Maybe their statues and relics. There has now been better leaders there where we can say there are things going on. So, all that we need to think of is our own sinfulness. And God's mercy, which is making this world to run. That's where we have to think. God Himself will punish them. You see, so those who think that, well, God is not doing much about evil, they are ignorant of God's truth. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 65, verse 20, that the sin of being 100 years old shall be accursed. So you see, if God will allow a wicked person to live, it's like a curse. God will bring His judgment upon him. He will never be. Either in this life, we all take less of our punishment. But in the judgment day, God will punish that person. Well, in this life, He does punish all of us, but He doesn't punish us. Even each one of us, God will punish us according to us. They wouldn't live. So that if the tyrant is not punishment, why we have to accuse God? So you see, is it that if sinners live 100, a sinner live 100 years? If he doesn't repent of his sin and turn to God for forgiveness, he will still be accursed. God's judgment is on him. So you see that it's the Bible that tells us how God is dealing with sinners. If we imagine how God deals with sinners, we'll go wrong. Bible point exchange makes me a good point near the boy for anything. Then you have the Yahoo Yajim near yesterday, young male Koswa. Then you have the Tosia who formed near the boy for the year. You'll be wrong. So the Lord promised mercy to all those who come and seek His forgiveness. And He said that this forgiveness never expires. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. All that is telling us that His mercy never expires. That's what He's trying to tell us. The Lord refers to the mercy He showed to David, King David, as an evidence of the faithfulness of His mercies. Yakupon ede David ne mubro ho ma David no e ya dance die ede ma hawa mesu ma ne mubro hu ode ma wa entwem ngo. Look at how David himself testified of this in Psalm 89 verse 1 to 2. He said that I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in every heaven. David was testifying of how God showed him this mercy. And he tells God's mercy extends beyond time to those that He has manifested it to. So mercy shall be built up forever. Mercy doesn't sink, it rises. Because that when we begin to walk with God, if God does not increase His mercy, we will perish. Mercy increases. When we find God's mercy in Christ, if it doesn't grow, God cannot work with us. Because you have to punish us for our sins. That's why those who hold that when you are saved, you can be lost, God can let you be lost. It's just a false thing. God's mercy builds us. Because the person who is saved, that you think he can lose his salvation, the Bible tells us God saved the ungodly. God saved the ungodly. No, so why did the boy about in general? I don't understand that the boy didn't know God. Answer nobody, you know the boy. How can he leave you because you have disobeyed him? Do parents throw away their children because they have disobeyed them? No. They chastise them and correct them and move to them. That's how God does with us. If we become His children, when we sin, He will chastise us. But then He will let His mercy stand for us. So the Lord refers this message to David for us. So God's message shown to David was a promise to establish His throne forever. This is the message God showed to David, the house of David. Psalm Emobrohu and for the man David, Emobrohua, or share the boss there, Nakunya, nothing like India, no, Obama, not say, Afibol. And this God fulfilled this in Christ, the greater son of David. Yangupon, Emma, Sabia, Bemu, Yes Christo, David, just in the Bible. Though he was God, so that through Christ, David's kingdom and dominion is forever. Christ's kingdom is forever. His dominion is forever. So that through Christ promised this to David, and now David came. Christ came through him. So you see, now Christ's kingdom is forever. David foresaw the Son of God by revelation. In the Psalm, he writes by revelation about Christ. He wrote. He foresaw the mediatorship work of Christ. How Christ only can stand in between us and God, because God revealed it to them through the sacrifice. So he was aware. And David foresaw this. You see? And God has fulfilled this in the time of Christ, and that Christ's dominion is forever. So David foresaw this. But in all this transaction between God and David, the most touching part is David's what? Unfaithfulness and God's faithfulness in his mercy. If you read the history of David, you see how though God said David was a man after his own heart, but you see the weaknesses of David. It's recorded for us to read. You see, and yet God showed him mercy. If you compare King Saul and King David, King David sinned by adultery and also killing somebody. King Saul, we may say, he didn't have this big so-called public, but then the pride in King Saul had made him God to reject him. See the difference? But David, when he sinned, he came to God. His confession is Psalm 51. But King Saul, he never accepted his wrong. King Saul, he only wanted to be seen that he was doing right, and yet he went on sinning. That's the difference. So David had mercy, King Saul never had. He has to be killed in battle. A simple thing for a king of Israel. Because God promised to protect them, so that if a king dies in battle, it's a shame that God has to disown him. Okay. So that is how God, does. It's His faithfulness. David's own what? Unfaithfulness. And God's what? Faithfulness in His mercy. It was endless to him. The sure mercy. That's what the Bible says. The sure mercy of David. And God is willing to give that type of mercy to each one who comes to him. Now, Coupon said, David, you move on the man who I need, not hope you know. But so, the more BBRA, I'm a banning chair. I will not preach to you. Because through Christ, that David's mercy was established forever. So we also, through Christ, through his forgiveness for us, they will know God's mercy that stands forever. David confesses this also in Psalm, in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. Look at how David himself, I mean, David, let me read the writing of David. Sometimes he felt so ashamed and unworthy of the mercies God has shown him. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to go. Look at this is all his salvation, the mercy, this everlasting covenant. Because if it should depend on him, how can he sustain his throne forever? He cannot. His mercy. So God's mercy is sure and faithful because it never changes. God is immutable. That's one of the attributes we learn about. He never changes in his being or in his purposes or whatever he does. Now, hope on sister, said your work comes, said your tea, on sister, and written a man in mobile also. He does no shadow of turning with him. So David found his mercy in the covenant of God to establish his throne forever. So it is for us if we also come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is for us in the Gospels. Christ is what? Offered to us. And this mercy will build up. And how does it build? In this life, we will know much of God's care for our lives. We know much of his protection, his answers to prayers. As we serve him, as we dedicate our life for him, we know how he upholds us amidst the difficulties of this world, which people who don't know you don't have. But then, eternal life, eternal happiness, immortal blessings are received when we are out of this world. Isn't it wonderful that God should so forgive us who have sinned against him and so prepare for us eternal happiness? What love is this? As John tells us. And there, don't you say, me and me, the boy, and you put the money at me. But King Neba Swaman, who sounds much a share in your young dear mammy or dad, she said, you ask him more. And there, don't you? John, what love is this? That me who me and I'm a sir, a sukier, Yanko Pong, a dear chairman, or sounds so soon more brabbing, nor sounds so the new yam out of Haman. What mercy is this? And who don't want to come for it? So that it is outer wickedness on our part if we neglect such great salvation. As the Hebrew tells us, if we neglect so great a salvation, how shall we escape the judgment of God? So Yanko Pong, name quite yet to say. My time is gone. But the last part was that the willingness of God to forgive. So I will not go on to that. But then I will tell you that David himself, this mercy was abounded to David when he repented of his adultery and his murder. It abounded to the thief on the cross of Calvary. Remember the thief on the cross of Calvary? What? He was a dying sinner. But when he cried to the Lord Jesus Christ, that remember me when you come to your place. The Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. What mercy is it? A dying thief, a murderer on the cross, found this mercy. But here are people who are alive, who have heard this mercy of God several times. Don't think about it. One who was dying on the cross saw it, and he was happy. Christ gave it. Look at Apostle Paul. He was called Saul. What was he doing? He was a murderer, and not murdering, he was murdering Christians. He found his mercy. That Paul afterwards will say that he counted every achievement in life but dank as compared to the knowledge of Christ, his Lord. Apostle Paul, who saw Mobro, he was saying, you know, we see any new young, I mean, we are still my brother, we are in the nation, or Israel, or Israel, or Israel, or Israel, or Israel, or Israel. I see a double so. So the two Nyangupon, what wonder? This is wonder because he realized that this mercy is all that anyone needs. Some of you in India will be here. But my question to you again, have you come to the Lord for this mercy? Personally, in Proverbs 20, verse 13, we are told that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. See, God is consistent. Nia or kata kata ne bone so no, on to mean to so na nini. So for so nya kupon yang kita who dear and koso. Na nia or kana bone no chin who fi hono. Ubenya mu. That's God's word is consistent everywhere. From Proverbs, from the Old Testament to the New, it's the same. Justice and mercy stands. Each one of us, we know the place of sins in our hearts. We know our heart. The sins that easily beset you, it's not the same sin that beset me. The very ways that tempt you to sin, it's not the same, it may not be the same way, but we all have our sins, one way or the other. We all know our pride and fleshly lust, our greed, dishonesty, selfishness, anger, hatred, and envy. Your time, and then your nipre, and then the credit in your home, and the person, Mankunya, and your home as well, will be an immediate. Somebody's own will be in maybe education, somebody's own will be in maybe, maybe business or other family, like what, it can be anywhere. But pride will be there. And finally, are you aware that every sin that God doesn't forgive, He has to punish that sin in hell? We are aware, say, Bonnie, be a good one, fine channel, so a kiss up on us for something. Yes. Every sin, so if we don't bring Him our sins and really submit ourselves to Him, God will have to punish us. We'll be with those who will be in hell. That's why Satan and his angels, we are told in Revelation, they'll be cast to hell because they cannot repent. They have been sealed up by their sin. For God has left them to doom and darkness to the day of the final judgment. Will you be among them or will you be among those who want to find mercy? You see, come to the Lord Jesus Christ if you have not done so and confess to Him. As He tells us in our verse that He will abundantly pardon of the better degree. So let's come to Him. Let's be encouraged by this and come to Him if you have not come to Him before.